Yeah, talking about eufy.com. The Eufy video lock is unbelievable. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Best Buy stores starting on May 20th. What is it? It's a smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell, 3-in-1, triple security, so you can have everything you need in one device rather than install many pieces on your front door. It's not just for security, but also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys like my wife. You can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. It's easy to install and set up with just a Phillips head screwdriver, no drilling required. It's got a keyless entry. No more fumbling for the keys. When hands are full, never worry about kids losing keys or passing among the renters of your house. You got a rental property out there, this is a must-have. I love this product. Just got it a couple weeks ago. Huge fan. Have the Ring camera. It's okay. It's not as great as this, so I swapped it out. Go to Eufy Video Lock today on YouTube. That's EUFY Video Lock, or visit EUFYOfficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your front door.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Life on the front lines requires you to step up your game. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax has designed just the right supplements for you and is offering Drinking Bros an exclusive offer. Buy one, get one free on your first order. Go to CardoMax.com and use the promo code DB. That's CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max.
I didn't even know. I was staring at my phone, dude. Just like a little baby, face down, and now we're live on YouTube. Around the world, live from Dallas, Texas. We got D'Anthony Holloway here. We got Chuck Liddell here from his new hit show, Icebreakers, which is on our network. We got the Tailgate Legends here. We got DrinkingBrosTickets.com. Benny Daniel is here. Jesse will be here momentarily. We'll have everybody up on the show. Chuck, how do you like podcasting?
I'm having fun. I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how your co-host Adam Ray doesn't know who Forrest Griffin is.
He called him Boris Griffin, by the way.
If you look at it, the most priceless thing was when I went,
Boris, and he goes, is that wrong?
Is that not his name? Like, no, dude, it's not.
No, not even close, bro.
Boris Griffin. Yeah, on the UFC ones, you're going to have to carry it. Same with our show, by the way. I can't pronounce any of these motherfuckers' names at all in UFC. Because they're all from, like, Dagestan.
Yeah. Well, you also
like
have
Chuck Liddell was easy, where it was just like, all right, great. Chuck Liddell's going to fucking knock somebody out tonight. Blah, 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 90 vowels. I can't pronounce these guys' names.
In the past, 2 months we've had Brian Keating, Neil deGrasse Tyson, and Michio Kaku.
Yep.
And one of my favorite things about it, other than talking to people that I really enjoy intellectually, is watching you try to understand what the fuck I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like watching a child.
I'm holding on for dear life. It's like kite surfing for the first time. I was like, oh, I was not expecting that wind. I'm up in the air now, and I don't know when this is going to land. You had Anderson Silva on your show.
Yeah.
Monday night. You guys were the first ones to get that interview.
Yeah.
After the Weidman leg break.
That whole thing when I saw it, how crazy.
It's like a simulation.
I've only seen that twice. Well, I seen it in a couple kickboxing fights.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've been watching fights for almost 40 years now.
Yeah.
So,
but for it to happen,
happened in the UFC. On such a freak accident, kind of.
That's got to be like stress fractures in the leg, and it just gives because you hit it at exactly the right spot or some
shit.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Because you had, like you said,
that's a normal check. That I actually, after the first Anderson Silva fight,
yeah,
we were walking in the back, and Ray Longo, who was a striking coach for Weidman asked me, hey, man, those leg kicks were killing him. If I would have knocked out Anderson the first time, those leg kicks are killing him. I don't know if we would have been able to answer the bell if it went all the way through. What do we do? And I actually said, my favorite check for MMA is just that short turn your leg and let him.
Sure.
And
you because it keeps you in position.
It keeps you in position. And I can throw the right hand. You don't have to, it turns your leg so you're taking it off a different part. And you tend to hurt people's foot. They're like, their foot on your knee the wrong way. But I never thought it would end up in breaking someone's leg.
Well, I mean,
like
it's only happened like a handful of times in the last, 35 years of UFC?
I've only seen it twice in UFC. Other times, I've seen it was in kickboxing. Anybody else?
Yeah, that's true.
Fight before was really, really close. Remember that guy couldn't feel his... It was like he got kicked in the leg.
That was a freak. I've never seen that.
I just wanted him to sit down. I was like, stop walking around. Just stop walking around.
How tough was that guy, though? Like, he's like, I know, I'm good.
Yeah. No, we actually saw that dude
I can't put any weight in my foot, but let me go. I got this.
We're at the season 2 of the Tuesday Night Contender Series. There was this Marine Corps guy that was fighting. Remember that shit?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was wailing on this dude, delivering great kicks, but on one of the kicks, he broke his foot, and it was swollen up, like, huge, the size of a fucking volleyball, and he was pissed off that he couldn't keep fighting. I'm like, dude, just go take a break. Everybody knows you're tough. You don't have to prove anything else here.
Well, the weird thing about the Contender Series was your whole family is there.
Well, it's only your whole family.
Yeah, and it was you're like, trying to get into the UFC via that option, and... When you break your leg, not only are you're not going forward in the show, but you're probably done forever at that point. And like Dan and I saw him sitting on the doctor's table, and he was crying. His family was around him. That Contender Series is gnarly because
it's brutal.
In,
yeah,
it's about this big inside of there. So when you're
remember
in there, you're with all their
right
family.
Next to what's that hotel there? What is it?
Palms.
Palms. Yeah. So it's like.
The original Tough Gym.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. The original Tough. Yeah, it's like the fighters, the crew that works for UFC there, and then maybe 50 other people. So it's like it's you can't get lost in a sea of people. Everybody is watching you.
It's
you
know small. I mean? It's hot. And you can hear family members screaming at their relatives in the ring where you're just like, all right, everything's on the line. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting way to watch fights. I mean,
we first did
the Ultimate Fighter and not going in there watching in there. It's kind of cool. It's kind of a cool little.
They're doing another Ultimate Fighter here soon, right?
You would think Dana would be trying
to capitalize on all this momentum he's got and put out a new series. You would think, right?
Sure. Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I don't know. I'd say Dana's always made some great decisions when it comes to marketing the sport.
I think that would crush right now.
So do
if
I.
If they put out another Ultimate Fighter. To be honest, they should go away from the two coaches thing and have smaller teams but more coaches. Like you coach 4 people, Randy coaches 4 people, so on and so forth. And then have like a Grand Prix style tournament, see what happens there. I'd love that shit. Make it happen over the course of fucking, what is it, 8 weeks, I think?
I don't know what they've gotten down to. When we first started, it was 60 days. When we first did the Ultimate Fighter,
it was 60 days.
But they straight.
How many episodes is it, though? Like 12?
12, 13? Yeah. Cable's usually 12 or 13, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to see that again. I mean, everybody loves watching UFC right now. I think it's the hottest sport on earth.
It is, but there's something I'd like to see more, and I'd like to see you fight Jake Paul. Now, last time you were on the show,
they're not going to let him fight someone like me.
We'll see.
He's not going to fight. They're not going to have him fight. They're going to protect him for a little longer, at least.
So last time you were on the show, it was right before the fight happened. We made our picks on the show. I was the only one who took Jake Paul in that. You took Ben Askren.
I was hoping he'd actually come out and fight.
Yeah, Ben Askren came out looking like he had never fought or worked out in his entire life.
I mean, and what happened to pressing him? Like, I thought he was supposed to lay on him and wrestle him and go push him.
He didn't do anything.
He stood out in front of him and got hit.
Yeah, and you were there. You were there ringside.
Punching bag.
You were there ringside, so you got to see it up close and personal.
Yeah.
Well, it was legit. That was a legit knockout, right?
He was out.
He knocked him out.
He was out. Yeah, and he was wobbly when they stopped it. I mean, you could have let it go a little bit longer because if he was a... it was a world championship boxing match or world championship fight.
But why let somebody fight. Get hurt? And what's and
yeah. for something like that? Yeah. There's no reason. It would have been two or three more punches, and they would have to stop it anyway.
So after seeing Jake Paul up close ringside, when you're there, legit boxer or no?
How do you tell when they're fighting guys that can't fight?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I can tell you can fight Chuck Liddell. We can hit up Jake Paul and then say, sure. Hey, take on Chuck Liddell. Would you do that right now? Like, would you be, if they said, hey, we're going to fight in 3 months, mm-hmm. would you be ready for that?
Yeah. To fight a kid that can't fight, 3 months is plenty of time. Yeah.
So you could probably do it in about 8 weeks, to be honest, right? That might be pressing it, but.
Comes to shove, I mean, we. Comes and challenges me here.
Well, push should come
right
to
here.
Shove and then punch and then kick. What do you think about all this stuff?
I don't know all that stuff. I mean, they do all that. I mean, it's a PR thing, and I think the sport's gotten that way a lot. Before that, guys doing all the trash talking and they cross a lot of lines. I think that they shouldn't anymore.
Right.
Nowadays, it seems like those are okay to cross all those lines. To me, like that was there's like a. unwritten rule that right. you know, we stick to. You can talk shit about me. I'll talk shit about you.
But not.
Fine,
but not like follow
family. You don't follow around throwing things at me.
Yeah.
Not come up and. I'm with like Masvidal. Like you,
right.
you come up and start talking to me. Raise your hands at me in the back room. We're gonna get slapped.
Yeah. That's.
You know, it's like, hey, you want to fight? I mean, you gonna come threaten me and talk.
You always, I
have no problem coming to your house. And
you always call it a fighting offense.
Yeah,
like that's your line of fighting offense, and then it doesn't matter who you are. We're fighting, right? It's just the way it's got to be.
Yeah, you come, if we're out in a regular public thing and you commit a fighting offense, we're fighting.
But some of this stuff is getting kind of silly.
Well, yeah, yesterday, perfect example.
Yeah, like I got your hat. Like shut the fuck up, dude.
But there was real punches thrown, and
there were no real punches thrown. They were like wrestling around. That was all staged, by the way, for sure.
I'm not sure.
No, that was stupid, and it was staged. The part that I like, though.
They staged it for sure. I don't know if Mayweather knew about it or not. But.
Who knows?
Yeah, I think the Paul brothers knew, obviously. Yeah.
That's their crowd. I mean, all that YouTube thing, they're going to go. They go and do those things. It's crazy.
They've always done that. So the thing that's actually interesting to me is the whole thing with DC, with Daniel Cormier. So. Yeah.
You know, Jake said, "See that video?
The confrontation is nothing to me, but the part that was super interesting was Cormier challenging to an MMA fight, and he goes, 'You're challenging me to something I don't do. Yeah, of course I'm going to say no.' Well, that's Ben Askren's not a fucking boxer, dude. That's literally what you just did, you stupid asshole.
But Chuck is saying I would get in a boxing ring and with Jake Paul.
But Chuck is a striker. It's a whole different situation, right?
I think so." You told me Ben was a striker.
No, I didn't.
No, nobody's ever said that.
No one has ever said Ben was a striker. Nobody's made that mistake.
Well, the thing that I was telling Dan after it happened was because we did a live watch along. You called in, obviously, and we were watching along with you. I said, all right, after the fight is over, because of how many pay-per-view buys it had, he only has a couple options because there's not famous enough boxers to carry the next pay-per-view. Mm. So I go, it's pretty much Chuck Liddell or Oscar De La Hoya, because Oscar De La Hoya said he's going to come back and fight. Mm. But I think that's the only people that would sell that many pay-per-view buys.
Maybe.
To be honest with you, is the two of you guys.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever reached out about a possibility of that?
They haven't talked to me, no.
Okay.
Well, we're talking to them right now about it. So let's hear all about that.
Yeah. Because if that went down, I can't even imagine the numbers on that.
Did they get into it because DC was talking about him fighting Luke?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that why they got into it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, but, and I don't
guess he said he wouldn't box.
Now, he wants the fucking MMA. And to be honest, I think the Pauls might have a point on that. It takes a lot longer to learn how to do, to learn three separate skills. Than to learn boxing, which is one skill, right? Like you always talk about how when you first got into fighting, you already had the grappling and the kickboxing shit,
yeah.
Right? You had already studied that,
it made it a lot easier. Everybody was coming in with one thing,
right?
And I had to add, adding two, and I came in with two and had to add one.
Right. So for the Paul brothers, it would take them years to be competitive, even though they're young and athletic. It would take them years to be competitive at grappling. Right.
I think they both wrestled.
Logan was a wrestler, and then Jake. Just picked up boxing, but I think Logan might have wrestled in college, Giorgio. No, Giorgio stayed hard. No, Giorgio wrestled in college.
Why don't we set up a Giorgio Chuck Liddell fight? right now. He's saying no.
He's saying absolutely not.
Because he's not crazy.
Smart.
Yeah.
Which is smart. In your last two shows on Icebreakers, you've had Anderson Silva on, you had Dana White on. Are you still friendly with Dana White every time you see him? I almost felt like you were the guy who just blew up UFC into mainstream. Does he ever say that to you? Like, hey, I'm grateful for all of that and all those times.
Look, we've been friends for a long time. He was my manager before.
Like 25 years now.
Yeah, but he was my manager before the UFC, before they bought the UFC. So, I mean, yeah, we're still friends. We still talk. We still, he still helps me out with things if I need, you know, comes on the show, talks with me. So yeah. Helps me promote things. So, yeah, we have a good relationship.
That's great. It's great. Because some people, when they leave the UFC, have a negative outlook on it. Either I didn't get paid enough, you fucked me over, I didn't get the title shots.
Yeah, there's been a number of people that have talked about the pay thing. Cejudo, for example, most recently retired, quote unquote. He's 33, but he's like, I want to get paid more money. Look, when Khabib fought Conor McGregor, his base salary was $2 million and Conor's was $3 million. And it wasn't because Conor was a better fighter. It's because it's not just about fighting. It's about person looking like this, like having the brand look and having a good celebrate, all that stuff, right? It's about branding yourself.
Yeah, it's about branding. It's about getting people to buy pay-per-views.
Yes. Right?
You have to, you know, I remember, I think, well, the Diaz brothers were saying, oh, I don't want to do your circus, you know, to promote. And I'm like, well, that's fine. I get it. I get you don't want to do it, but if you're going to get paid to fight, you're going to have to do the circus.
Yes. Well, I mean, Nate loves talking shit, though. Nick's a little quieter, but Nate loves talking shit. So it's not a problem for Nick.
But Nate would not show up to things. Yeah, like, he would not to press conferences. He'd miss something. And it's like, dude, bro, like, show up. Yeah. If you want to sit there and talk about how you don't want to talk about it, you don't want to answer any questions, go ahead.
Marshawn Lynch.
As long as you're there.
Marshawn Lynch got even more famous showing up and saying, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Right.
It's still part of the act, right?
Just show up. Sell yourself, and you're getting paid to fight. You got to promote it.
How you liking Dallas so far?
I'm having a good time. I always have a good time here. I got some friends here.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. You do, yeah. So we're trying to get Chuck to move to Texas because California sucks.
Yes, yes. So we keep setting up events in Texas, trying to hope we can lure him here.
I mean, all you gotta do is spend 51% of your time.
Everywhere, every time I'm here, whoever I'm visiting, all my friends out here,
it's like, when are you moving here, Chuck?
So you want to go see a house today? We just got this place over here. You can check it out. Yeah, everyone's
so people are buying houses and keeping them on lock for you. It's just like, here, Chuck.
You gotta try to buy this one. Yeah.
Hey, you're in a good. That's a good leverage point right now.
Talk
one of these assholes into buying you a house, man. You can just move it for free.
Yeah, and then you could live here and enjoy your life, you know?
I think you're done
with L.A. That's all we're saying. I think you're done with L.A.
We'll see what happens.
But we're in town tonight. Obviously, the Canelo fight is this weekend. Cowboy Stadium, 70,000 people. I think without mask. How is the what's the mask situation here in Dallas, guys? Okay. Yeah, I don't see anybody wearing them in here today. And thank you to Kraft and Growler for having us today here in Texas. Appreciate it.
Yeah, since the last time we were here, they brought on a brewer, and they're just making a shitload of new stuff now.
Yes, yeah. Last time we had a table pointed here that was merch.
Yeah.
Now you got more tanks.
Yeah.
It seems like Kraft and Growler is absolutely killing it. We love doing shows here and coming to have booze here. And the sours are lights out. Yes. Yeah, the sours are lights out. And then tonight we will be at the Texas Rangers game for the new stadium. Have not been yet. Heard that it's a dome. Are they sliding it back and forth over? Or
Major League Baseball actually has requirements. If you have dome capabilities, it can't be over 90 degrees.
Oh, I think.
Yeah, or under a certain temperature as well. Yeah.
Where are we hovering out there? Is it 90?
No, it's like 81. There's 82 degrees right now, I think.
All right. Yeah. All right.
Well, so we'll see.
We'll find out.
It's a nice day out.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. Chuck, who do you got in the Canelo fight? Right now, I'm looking at the odds on mybookie.com. Promo code DRINKINBROS will double your deposit up to $1,000. It is 7.5-1 for Canelo.
Good Lord.
Any chance.
Is this a title fight?
Billy Joe Saunders wins. I thought it was the lead singer of Green Day, but it's not. But it's not. He's an actual boxer.
He actually owns a restaurant in Oakland called Rudy's Can't Fail Cafe.
Really?
Yeah. It sucks.
Well, hopefully it doesn't suck tomorrow night. 7.5 to 1. Any
7.5 to 1 seems like a fucking massive spread for a... Is this a title fight? Yeah, it's a middleweight title bout.
Yeah. The title fight.
Holy shit.
Have you seen it? I think the four fights on the card that I saw had lines on them were minus 1,000, minus 3,000.
Oh, that one's fucking minus 5,000.
Yeah, minus 5,000.
Holy shit.
And, and one was like minus 400 was the closest one, I think.
Yeah, yeah. minus 420. Yeah, that's the.
Yeah, it was that 4-1 favorite. It's the closest fight on the
that's
card.
That's a fucking.
It's a massive one. Look, as a gambler, and a lot of us are out here, a lot of us are degenerates, the over-under on this fight is 10.5. It's a 12-round fight. Do you think it goes over under 10.5 rounds, Chuck?
Oh. I'm hoping it goes under.
I want to see a knockout as well.
If I'm going to bet so I can have something to root for, I don't want to be rooting for them not to hit each other. I will go with the under.
Nobody's rooting for a decision. Fuck that.
All right,
well, you can bet on the rounds individually, and that's where the real value is. If you were to pick what round he would be knocked out in, what would be your best guess?
Five.
All right.
I'm going with five.
Chuck goes in five. I'll say seven.
I was thinking six, to be honest. I mean, you've seen Canelo is pretty well known for those liver knockouts. I mean, those body shots he delivers are pretty wild. That is one of my favorite knockouts in all of combat sports in general, is the liver knockout, because there's that brief pause. The guy takes the hit, and he thinks he's good, and it's like, and he's done.
Like I say, and you always see it when they go, do you see that?
And they make that noise, that dude.
See that guy trying to call, say it was a low blow.
Yeah.
And then that act afterwards, I'm like, really?
It looked like
it got called. It did get called technically.
Yeah, it was
low.
It was not, obviously.
It wasn't. But it goes to the cards, so he lost anyway. But,
yeah.
I mean, that should have been a knockout. He got hit in the liver.
Because
he took that breath and went,
yeah. You can always
that's
tell.
What happens, right? Yeah,
they
always
make the same face and the same noise when it's a liver knockout.
Oh, 100%.
It's the most. I would rather. We were talking about on the show last week. I would rather get knocked out, like unconscious, than have that.
Yeah,
out.
Because how horrible is it to be down there? They're counting you out, and you're telling your body to get up, and your body's going, no way,
no way. Yeah, you're not getting up.
Have you ever gotten a liver shot like that?
What? Me? I haven't been hit with one. No.
Man.
I've hit quite a few people with them, actually.
I know you have. I've seen quite a few of those.
I body shot. I've had people. I used to have people hit me with a body shot. Bang. Okay, if you want, sure.
Oh, yeah, you
told
that.
That liver shot. I mean, the liver is different. I can dig a body shot. Well, it's a liver.
It's the liver.
You snap that. It doesn't take a lot.
Now, you told that story on Icebreakers this week with Silva about some DJ at the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah,
Kentucky Derby.
He wanted to take a body shot from me, and I'm like, the biggest thing for me was that, like, okay, I told him no, first off, and then he puts me on blast in front of everybody. And so now I got it. Normally I just kind of hit you and see how you take it. I don't care if you take it or not. But if you put me like that, I gotta drop you.
Right.
So I hit him as hard as I could. I mean, he did not get up. He did not feel well.
Yeah. Yeah. With the Rangers game, by the way, tonight, D'Anthony, you bet on baseball. I am not a big gambler on baseball whatsoever. I'll throw a lot of money on the Canelo fight just to do it. But who do you got tonight in the Rangers game against the Mariners?
I got to look at the pitchers. Hang on a second. I mean, I would take the Mariners. The Mariners are super hot right now.
The Mariners are hot right
now. And they're playing well.
You got to bet at baseball on the pitchers. It depends on who's pitching, right?
Yeah.
The pitchers, the weather as well. Like, everything matters in baseball. That's why I like gambling on it, because there's so many different things going on. Hang on a sec. Let me look at the Gamecast here. The Mariners have been super hot. They're playing way well above their potential right now, to be honest. The Rangers have Folty, formerly the Braves, going tonight.
Yep.
Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
That routinely gives up 7 earned runs
in
one inning. So it's hard to say. I mean, he's not looking good this year either. His whip is super high. He's already given up 9 home runs this year.
Okay.
Taking the Mariners just because Fulton, which is pitching.
All right. You're taking the Mariners.
Yeah.
He's got the Mariners tonight. I'll throw a little money on the Mariners as well. Oh, are we getting double birds from Benny here? Benny, come on up. I tell you what, Benny, come on up. Come on up. Come on up, Benny Daniel. It's our partner in the ticketing company at drinkingbrostickets.com. Thank God fans are starting to come back into stadiums. I know you're amped about it. Sit on down, Benny. Who do you got? You're taking the Rangers tonight?
I'm going to take the Rangers only because I'm not being biased. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They're the hot team, not the Mariners.
No.
Now, the pitching matchup, you are right. Seattle has the advantage.
Oh, I know. I'm right.
But I'm going to go with the hot team. And plus, we're from Texas.
The hot hand theory in the short term has been disproven by our friend John Brinkus. We've analyzed data for over the course of 20 years. This is not true, right? That is a level of cognitive dissonance you have to jettison now to start making good bets.
Ah,
I'm just telling you.
We'll do a friendly wager.
I tell you what, I will go the Rangers with you because we're here in Texas. This is the hometown team. I will bet on the Rangers tonight. We will go against D'Anthony Holloway. And then figure it out. We'll know tomorrow. That's the beauty of it.
We'll know tonight. Unless the game goes extra long. We'll see it.
Here's the thing. When we go to these events, we get rocked. And obviously, we're fortunate enough to have great tickets. Benny, how is this new stadium?
When I went to the World Series last year, it was fucking incredible. But I hadn't sat in where we're sitting tonight. I actually haven't really been as a fan just yet for a Ranger game and go sit and enjoy all the anonymities that come with it. But we're going to find out tonight.
Yeah, mask or no mask. What's the rules now inside? Because that's what I'm confused on with all this shit. We were at the Kentucky Derby last week. Walk in with a mask, take it off, and then 50,000 people aren't wearing masks and never nobody ever asked. Is that going to be the same way at the Rangers game tonight?
Who's been to a game? So, no mask?
Yeah.
I hadn't even been to a home game yet.
Don't
forget where I live.
So. I know, right? So that's kind of it right now. So, shit, we'll find out tonight. Not that they're going to say anything, I guess, in a box, but, you know, we'll be there.
No mask.
How is the ticket business recovering, by the way?
A Texas broker, phenomenal. The festivals are selling out everywhere.
The people in California and the Northeast are probably still struggling pretty bad, right?
Yeah, I mean,
they're still Florida, like 30% capacity.
The Florida events, the Texas events are huge. But the festivals that are opening in other states that haven't been wide open yet, they're selling out.
Yeah, everybody wants to get back to it. So there's going to be a high demand. What about you were at the Triller thing? How many people were there?
There wasn't a lot.
Was it like 25% capacity or something like that?
Not even that.
Really, yeah. They weren't open.
They were really just doing it for the production, TV production. Right. There was a lot of celebrities and it was a shit show back there.
The production was kind of like they had the first fight and then like an hour and 20 minutes of bullshit before the next fight. What the fuck is wrong with these people?
Yeah,
I've heard people say like, oh, they're just trying something new. Motherfucker, this shit's existed for 100 years now. You're not going to come up with a new way to do a production.
But I think you're trying to get the kids who are on YouTube in there. There was a lot of concerts. I mean, look, at one point, I think it was an hour and a half between fights.
Yeah, the first fight and the second fight. An hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Benny, let me ask you this. As a ticket broker selling fights like Jake Paul and Logan Paul, like, what will the prices be like for Logan Paul versus Mayweather? June 6th is on a Sunday night in Miami.
Oh, it's on D-Day.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect for Logan Paul to be on D-Day.
Yeah.
What are the ticket prices going to be like for that? Because the last one had so many millions of pay-per-view buys. Like, what do you do? How do you price that?
I'm guessing $200 to $300 for a lower level, floor seats.
That's not that bad, though.
$700 to $1,500, give or take. I'm just kind of judging on past events. Like, yeah, and it'd probably be a $75 walk.
But there's probably going to be a run on the market, right? After, I mean, regardless of how fucked up the production was, people still watched a lot of it.
Oh, it was entertaining there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The show there was entertaining.
This is what I don't understand. There weren't a whole lot of people at the event live. But the people that were at the event live, they haven't done a whole lot after the fact. Like, they should have you on the phone or on somebody's show right now talking about how cool it was. But I haven't seen any of that yet.
Well, the weird thing about it is your
What's
friend with
name?
Snoop Dogg. He was smoking weed the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
People loved him. Is that the future? I mean, is this what we're looking at? Or are these kind of one-offs until these kids get killed? I mean, if a serious injury happened...
Snoop. I mean, I think he gets away with it anyway, just because he's Snoop. Like, I thought that the Tyson fight, he did a great job announcing for that. They were doing it for production, so I couldn't hear anything he was saying. I didn't get to hear any of that part of the fight.
Oh, they didn't have any of that broadcast over the loudspeaker?
No, like, even a buffer, like, when he was announcing. I could hear his voice because he got a loud voice.
Yeah.
But they didn't have any speakers for us. Like, I didn't.
How old is
Tyson? No way. How old is Michael Buffer?
I'm ringside, and I can hear him. There's no mic to it.
All right,
there's
ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble. I mean, you can hear that.
You can hear him saying it, but there's no mic. It's not over a mic, so it's kind of like I'm hearing it on the side going, that's kind of weird. Like,
yeah.
So who do you got, Bruce or Michael?
For what?
For announcing.
Bruce, my boy. Come on,
because
man.
Of the suits, right?
Yeah, and the passion. Have you seen him warm up?
He loves it.
Have you seen
his
warm ups?
John Anik tells us about this shit. He also told us that he and Bruce both eat only about 1,000 calories a day for the 6 or 7 days leading up to the fight. So they want to slim down for TV, and then they go and eat like a 4,000 calorie dinner at like 3 a.m. after the fight. I'm like, Jesus Christ. You've seen John Anik is like fucking 5'7"
Yeah.
He's a tiny man. I want to see him eat 4,000 calories.
Oh,
can
yeah.
We set that shit up?
Probably.
That's going to be more entertaining than the fight, probably.
Probably. But we'll see. So, I mean, like for you, $750 for floor seats. I was looking at floor seats for these guys.
My buddy
Giorgio is going to UFC 262 with Fake Dan. Those were going for like $600. So, I mean, you've got a higher price than UFC right now.
But it depends. It depends on the weekend.
And you the know, frequency,
like we
too.
Cinco de Mayo weekend this weekend. So it kind of helps amp up this fight. There's a lot of variants that go in, but...
I mean, having Canelo fight on Cinco de Mayo weekend is a great idea, by the
Absolutely.
Way. I mean, let's be real about that. You can lean into it. It's Mexicans, every Mexican's birthday this weekend, right? Cinco de Mayo
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, I only celebrate Seis de Mayo.
Does anybody know what Cinco de Mayo actually is?
It is the Mexicans are celebrating a victory in California or something like that.
What it is?
They don't even celebrate this in
don't
Mexico.
Don't be so confident when you're that it's something like that at
I'm
the end.
I'm actually asking because it's a backwards-ass celebration.
Uh-huh.
It's like we're celebrating something we shouldn't be celebrating.
But most people in Mexico don't celebrate that shit, right?
What's that?
Isn't it only one area of Mexico that, like, Playa or something that celebrates Cinco de Mayo?
It's a white people holiday, right?
But it's like backwards of why we're celebrating.
It's like fortune cookies or some shit. We made that shit up.
Look it up, you'll laugh.
I'm sure.
Not celebrated Mexico. It's a
Mexican victory over France, actually.
Yeah.
Something
but
like that.
I don't think anybody in Mexico actually celebrates this shit.
Well, I was this close.
We just thought they did.
Yeah.
So then we started doing it.
And then we stole it. That's what we do as white people. We steal fucking sweet holidays from St. Patrick's Day is not ours.
For some reason, we feel the need to come up with reasons, excuses to get fucked up, and we should just be getting fucked up for no reason.
That's where it came from.
Every single day.
Every day. Fuck that shit.
Every single, like tonight, we're getting fucked up at the Rangers game tonight. How many seats do we have, by the way?
20.
Okay. His wife was asking for extras if we have them.
We just need a count.
Great. Four.
I think we have it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
I'll text her back.
Hey, I'll get them in even if we're full. Don't worry about it.
Perfect. Okay, you going to put them in your cargo pocket there?
Yeah. No, it's all digital. Everything's digital now.
What does that mean?
The tickets are all digital.
Yeah, but human beings aren't. They still have to go through security, fuckface.
But here's the thing. When you go to the box, there's like 20 seats, but it holds, 40?
Just by general admission.
We're going to get some.
Just by GAs and...
Get some cheap stuff and walk them in. Yeah,
just get the cheap stuff.
Like nosebleeds.
The famous Sarah Heller is coming with us tonight. Nicholas is coming with us tonight.
Marquez,
We're doxing everybody.
Walk into the box.
And if anybody says anything, we'll be like, hey, Chuck Liddell will fight you if you want to fight him.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
You're going to have to beat up a couple of staff members at Ranger Stadium tonight. Sorry.
Which is fine.
I doubt that'll happen.
You don't think they'll square up with you?
No.
We got Eric Tanzi here from Tailgate Legends. Eric, hop on up on the show here. Food tonight. Texas Rangers Stadium has the best food I've ever had at a baseball stadium. The old one, yes. Yeah. I don't know if it's carried over.
You know who's also really good? Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of good stuff up there. And then Kansas City's ballpark. Tons of great food. Has anybody here been to the new Rangers Stadium and eaten the food yet? What is it
just
like?
Just as good?
Yeah?
I don't like all right.
We got the brisket. We got the brisket coming, yeah.
I heard brisket and I'm hard, so let's
yeah.
So I've actually been fasting so that I can really, really go all in tonight and fit in my suit top tomorrow. So,
what's a suit top?
Yeah, well, whatever that
is. What is it called? A jacket for the fight.
Yeah.
A blazer. A blazer is what they call it in the civilized world.
A blazer. Everybody's still...
I've got a lot of questions.
Jesse was here.
One, why are you wearing a fucking blazer to a fucking fight?
Ross told me to.
So, yes. That usually at a big fight like this, you get dressed up. And that used to be the old way. Your wife hit me up and she goes, hey, how should we dress? And I go, dressed in casual tonight for the game. Tomorrow I'll throw on a button down and class it up a little bit.
Yeah, I've never.
Tonight I'm going t-shirt and jeans.
Yes, tomorrow I'm dressing up. Tomorrow. Okay. That's customary of fights. It feels like the only thing that's left where people mildly get dressed up, but everybody's pretty white trash now these days. So, you know, we'll see what happens. We got the brisket coming up to the box tonight. It's the Nolan Ryan brisket, they said. So they're bringing out all the food tonight in the box. I need
Does
your opinion.
Does he own a restaurant?
He might, because all the food is named after Nolan Ryan, so I'm not sure. In your opinion, North Carolina barbecue versus Texas barbecue, who wins? That's the question I get the most.
North Carolina.
Get the fuck.
No 100%, way.
100% North Carolina.
North Carolina barbecue is just sauce.
You know you're in Texas right now, right?
Well, if Chuck Liddell's making me say Texas, I'll say Texas.
I'm not making you say anything. I'm just saying.
But honestly,
you're in Texas, right?
Honest opinion.
I'm not protecting you.
My honest opinion is the vinegar-based sauce that North Carolina delivers is fire.
Texas doesn't give a fuck about sauce. We care about meat.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what kind of sauce do you put on your steak?
What if the I respect was about none, Texas is that barbecue is limited to brisket and beef, whereas, like, in North beef Carolina, you could call barbecue shrimp. Which I think is stupid, but
yeah.
But anything can be barbecue. If it's on the grill in North Carolina, it's barbecue.
I like the sauce. Like, out of all the sauces that exist, I would say the Carolina sauce is probably the best.
Yeah, the vinegar sauce is the best.
I mean, it just works better with
fatty. My least favorite
is
Kansas.
Like a sweet sauce with fatty meat doesn't make any sense to me. You wouldn't normally do that, right?
And for me personally, I'll go Texas barbecue because the meat is better.
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
But if you're talking sauce, that's why I said that at the beginning.
Exactly,
yeah. If you're talking sauce... I think North Carolina's got the sauce.
Yeah, and I like the coleslaw on top of the barbecue, which North Carolina brings. Texas doesn't do that.
So. You got to go for the Permanente Brothers sandwich, too, if you're doing all that, right?
Yes.
Are you familiar with Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's one of my favorite cities of all time.
Yeah.
Get some Icy Light and a Permanente Brothers sandwich, right?
Yes, how many did we have that night? Jesus Christ.
A lot. And we got super high and couldn't find our way home.
Could not find our way home. Yeah. Highest I've ever been. Driving 4 miles an hour, too, the entire time. You own Instill Distilling in Claytona Beach, North Carolina. Do you guys serve food in there now?
We don't. Well, every Wednesday and Friday, I bring in sub sandwiches from the local grocery. I won't say which one.
Why not?
Because you guys will shame me for it.
Is it a food line?
It's not. It's Publix.
It is.
I know, but I wish if Food Lion had subs, I would do the Food Lion subs.
I'm not going to shame you for Publix subs. Like, Publix subs are good.
Well,
those are good.
They are good. So every Wednesday and Thursday we do free Publix subs in the bar.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. You've got one of the best facilities we've been to.
You guys got to come back. It's changed
huge.
So much. It's changed
huge,
so much,
man. You're having like live bands there and all that other shit.
Yeah, we got a lot of really great music. We have a great music scene there.
Well, if you can get tickets, we'll come to like a fucking UNC Duke game or some shit like that and pop by there, right?
That's rage.
In the fall.
Yeah.
But it's hard to get. I mean, we want to get tickets to Cameron Indoor and it's fucking 5,000 of them.
Yep.
Yeah. And the beauty of Tailgate Legends, by the way, is it's food driven show and sports. You know nothing about sports whatsoever. Your co-host does.
He does.
And then you know all about the food. When I said Michael Irvin was coming to the fight with us tomorrow night,
yep.
You did not know who that was.
I still don't, because you guys didn't tell me who he was. So.
No one should have to tell you who Michael Irvin is.
Player.
You know you're in Dallas right now, right?
He is a legend in Dallas.
Wait, how old are you?
I'm 37.
Former fucking Army and a cop. And he doesn't know who Michael Irvin is.
I play rugby. I don't watch any other sports but rugby.
Rugby is not a sport.
And rugby is absolutely a fucking sport.
Oh, God.
Do you know who Chuck Liddell is?
Yes, he's of course. Right, I watched 4 hours of Chuck Liddell videos today.
Yeah, he did. He did. He goes, I was watching
in a room with another dude. It's the most heterosexual, homosexual experience I've ever had in my life.
Because he wanted to know who you were. So I was like, you were watching YouTube videos all morning? He goes, yeah, man, I wanted to study up. I didn't want to seem like a fucking dumbass. He knows nothing but rugby.
Are you fucking nothing kidding but
rugby.
Me?
No. I know, I've heard the name. I actually like rugby guys. The rugby club used to come in after games and at the bar I worked at. And we're like the only bar that no one liked them. They're all those guys are too rowdy. They're going to have my, man, they all police
too
themselves.
Rowdy? What the fuck does that mean?
That's what I said. Like, they're a lot of fun. Just quit being pussies.
Yeah.
they're good guys. They police themselves. They tip. I'm good.
We need to make that a t-shirt. It's just Chuck Liddell's face. And it says, quit being pussies.
Yeah, quit being pussies.
It says DBAP, pussies. Don't be a pussy, since we're going with acronyms.
So I like the four-letter acronyms.
Yeah.
It's like APAC.
Like APAC?
Yeah, like DBAP, don't be a pussy.
Who do you got in the fight tomorrow night?
Alvarez.
Really?
Because he looks like a swarthy little Irish man from Mexico, and I think that's cool. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is up with the ginger features for this young Mexican man?
It's like seeing a redhead in Afghanistan.
Is that normal?
You know?
Like, it's like Griffin. What?
That's an ex like baby, right?
Yeah.
Some special forces guy, not somebody
when
up.
When you see him over there, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
When I saw Alvarez and his name was Alvarez, and I saw the red hair, I was like, wow.
I think it actually comes from the Genghis Khan lineage, doesn't it? All the red-haired people?
I guess.
He's got 45 million living descendants right now.
Who does?
Really?
Genghis Khan has 45 million living descendants right now.
Well, that guy in Dallas, the Sperminator, has got 78 kids. Talked about him a couple weeks
ago. We need to start a GoFundMe for this guy.
The beauty of it was he says he prefers to do it the old-fashioned way, and he just wants to give back.
Wait, what do you mean the old-fashioned way?
Sex. So he doesn't want to dump out in a cup. He wants to have sex, and he has with most. He's got 78 children, lesbians, he does not discriminate. He just wants children out into the world.
But he only donates. Awesome. He only donates out of his own dick. Then
correct.
Hey, God bless.
God bless the guy. But he's here in Dallas. He said he doesn't have a lot of money because of some child support issues, obviously. But he wakes up with a lot of hugs.
How much is 78 kids worth of child support a month?
Oh, 140K a month, probably at a minimum. Depends on what he does for a living, too.
I'm guessing a guy that has 78 kids probably doesn't do something great for a living. Right?
Well, he's giving back to the world. He's giving back to the world.
No.
Bring your co-host on, Boston Joe, here. I want to get your pick for tonight's here, Boston Joe. He actually knows about sports.
I do. I do sports a little bit more than Tansy. I'm not a big fight guy, but we did watch plenty of... Alvarez's fights, and he seems like a badass, so I'll take him.
Yeah, you know, it's
not Billy Joe Armstrong.
I mean, he's been one of the best in the game for a while now, right?
For a long time. So this will be my second time seeing him in person.
Yeah.
Ironically, the first time was against Mayweather.
G? Oh, it's Mayweather. Yeah, he lost that fight. Yeah,
He got destroyed at that fight, and I didn't think he would ever really recover from that because in my estimate, he only won one round in that fight,
and he looked really bad too.
Yes.
But he came back and won eight in a row.
He's
after
not
that
lost.
Or
he's not
row?
Lost yeah. since.
So I want to ask you about this because Mayweather's going to fight a much larger man now. So say what you want about Askren's inability to strike, but he and fucking Paul were generally the same size, more or less. I mean, he's a little bit bigger. Mayweather's a small man. Can we get another one of those for Trump?
Yeah, let's get four more of those.
Yeah, Mayweather is a lot smaller than Logan Paul. What do you think is going to happen in that fight? Because Mayweather's one of the best, if not the best, technical boxers ever.
Defensive boxers. He's going to be too hard to hit for a guy like Logan.
Yeah.
I mean, Logan.
He's got to load up and try to get.
Yeah, he's got to land. He's got to land that big. It's one of those things, like just like asking, he's got a puncher's chance if he can just land that one shot. Yeah, against the best defensive
boxer. But Conor McGregor couldn't land that one shot.
Even him, you're going against one of the best defensive boxers of all time. And trying to get lucky with a shot. I mean, crazy things have happened. I mean, guys have snapped legs kicking.
That's true,
But, you know.
Floyd doesn't discriminate. He fights women, too.
Yeah, there it is.
I was waiting for it.
Listen, he's a great fighter. He's a dirtbag. Or something.
He's undefeated in his own household, too.
No comment from Chuck on that
52-0 Mayweather is. The two wins being outside the ring.
But, yeah, I mean... Connor's left hand is one of the best knockout weapons in all of UFC history, statistically speaking.
Yeah.
If he couldn't land it with those 16-ounce gloves, what are the chances that Logan Paul, with no real experience, is going to be able to do it? Even if, what's Mayweather, 44?
Yes, 44 years old, yeah.
I don't know that Logan has the same power as his brother.
Yeah.
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 And the weird thing is,
you don't just automatically have that same power. I've got two brothers that did karate, and they hit pretty hard, but they don't hit like I do.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, Chuck. You're way bigger than him, and you play sort of a different sport, but if for whatever reason you fought Floyd, would you fuck him up?
I think I would, yeah.
I would love to see that, man.
Yeah,
I just
Floyd,
wish we could
Floyd's
make that
too
happen.
Small for me.
The women out there.
But he's also a small target, too, right? Like, yeah. If you're talking about punching and you need to hit a guy in the jaw.
It's just punching. There's always that. I'd mug him. I'm going to wrestle him, throw him in the corner, and hang on him a lot. Rough him up a lot. But, that's boxing. It's still, even though he's a lot smaller, and I'll have reach on him, and I have a lot of stuff. It's still, that's what he does. He's one of the best defensive boxers all the time. It's still going to be hard to land that big power shot. Yeah.
But you got to be pretty confident he can't knock you out.
Oh no,
because he hasn't knocked anybody out in a long time.
And he's a smaller fighter. Yeah. And he's not going to.
You hit the button. But if you see the punch coming, it doesn't really matter how hard the punch is. In both cases, right?
So, I wouldn't be worried about that with him. I think that's
the wildest part about all of this.
The size thing, I don't think it matters. At this thing, it doesn't matter. The guy's not. Has Logan won a boxing match yet?
He's 0-1, I believe. Yeah.
Who did he fight the first time?
He won another YouTube guy, KSI. He won the fight. It was a controversial thing. The weirdest part about it is we are here to see a world championship fight tomorrow night. But all anybody wants to talk about is the Paul brothers. And when everybody found out you were coming on today, they were like, dude, ask him this. Now that it is out in the open, I actually want to see it happen. Like he was saying, Mayweather versus Liddell, the Paul brothers versus Liddell. Like,
how about both of them versus you?
It's funner than actual boxing.
Well,
right,
I think
now.
A lot of people are rooting for one of the Paul brothers to get knocked the fuck out. And if they're smart, the Paul brothers realize that. And they keep acting like cunts.
Yeah,
they're trolls.
Because they're making a fuckload of money doing it.
Tons of money.
Why not?
Tons of money. Who do you got tomorrow night, Boston Joe?
They're doing a great job on what they do.
And I got the Mariners tonight, too, by the way, Dan.
Yeah, the Mariners.
They're doing a great job.
They're making a ton of money.
He's on that Mariners train.
I'm on the Mariners train because the pitcher, I forget his name, Fulton or whatever the fuck his name is.
Fulton, yeah.
He's on my fantasy baseball team, so I got him. I know everyone at home cares about that.
Betting against me in baseball is not a good idea.
Well, I want to talk about getting all dressed up for the fight because I've never been to a fight before.
I'm not doing all that.
Dan's not doing it.
Well,
I throw a button down.
Well, Dan can get away with anything, and I almost wore that shirt today, and you would have been pissed, I'm sure.
No,
if I wore
this
that
is
shirt.
A great shirt.
It's a great shirt, but
me
you
and John Briggs
like,
came
me.
Up with this. Killcliff, by the way, one of our title sponsors of the sports show.
Yep.
Killcliff.com. Actually, you don't have to go to CBD. It's all on one site now.
Is it really?
Killcliff.com. Drink it, bros. 20% off everything.
Yes.
So, this shirt, John Briggs and I came up with for that conspiracy theory show we were doing.
But I'm getting dressed up. I'm going to look fly as fuck.
And not as dressed up as I was last weekend, though, right?
No. You can't top that, Dan. I mean, let's be real.
You won best dressed at the Derby, for sure.
You can't beat that. But, luckily for me, I got an amateur stylist that helped me out. It's actually just my ex-girlfriend. Not a big deal.
Is she here?
No. She's watching, though. Hi, Jackie. But I told Tansy, I was like, dude, what are you wearing? He's like, I don't know, fucking jeans and a t-shirt. I'm like, no, man, you got to get dressed up for this shit. Do you watch any fights? You got to look fucking fly.
You got to look
like,
nice.
And he's like, isn't Julius Erving going to be there? I go,
no,
dude,
Michael.
Fucking Michael fucking Irvin. He still doesn't know. Unbelievable.
Irvin.
Mike. What the fuck are we doing there,
Jesus
but
Christ,
Tansy's man. Great at making rum and food. Terrible.
That's just about it, though.
Sports.
He's a terrible dancer.
Is he?
Yeah, terrible. He has the same move every time. He goes like this. But he is great and still's great. They've hosted my band there a couple of times. Little shout out to my band as we all float. Follow us on Instagram. Shameless plug.
Sure. You got a band?
I got a band, man. I play guitar.
Really?
I do.
Lead guitar? Do you
Lead
sing?
Lead guitar. Nah, little background vocals. But you hear my voice. You don't want to hear any more than
that. What kind of guitar?
Yeah. What kind of guitar?
I just got a brand new Fender Stratocaster, right? The Blackie Eric Clapton edition. I look like a boss with it. I sound all right with it, but I look really
What kind of music?
I'm a big classic rock guy. Mm. I mean, Zeppelin, Grateful Dead, Pink Floyd, but I know you might hate this, but I love John Mayer. I love Dave Matthews' band, too.
No, dude, I get down on Dave Matthews.
Actually, Dave Matthews has the biggest hands any human being. He's like 5'10" and his hands are fucking massive.
And the shit he does is difficult. People don't realize how difficult what he's just playing rhythm, but he's incredible guitar player.
He plays with his top string tuned to D, and when he needs to play an E, he plays it with his thumb. That's how big his goddamn hands are.
Yeah, a lot of drop D tuning with Dave Matthews. And in an RPR episode with Barnes Courtney there, which was an awesome one, you talked about John Mayer's dick.
Yes.
After you said that, I was searching for it. I couldn't find it.
John Mayer's dick?
I want to see it.
Oh, I'll show it to you. He's got a two-hander, Mayer.
I wouldn't doubt it. He's huge. He's a big guy.
Seen John Mayer's dick? Not only is he great at playing the guitar, he's got a two-hander.
Hey, Chuck hasn't seen John Mayer's dick.
Oh, dude, I'll show you after the show is over.
Can't wait to see it.
I show everybody. It's just he's holding it like a bear holding a salmon.
Who did he send it to? Jennifer Aniston, Taylor Swift. I mean,
the rumor is that when he was dating,
Jessica Simpson, sexual napalm.
I think it was Jessica Simpson that she took the picture.
Nice.
Because he's just standing there pissing, but he's holding it like.
Oh,
again,
he's pissing.
Like, oh yeah, but it's
so it's flaccid.
No, you
like a half chub.
I'll show you. Yeah, I mean it's a beautiful one. By the way, speaking of dick pics, Araceli, you were on Ross Patterson Revolution yesterday morning. And we had drinking bros send in their dick pics. Flooded. Who is the best one? We'll shout him out on the show. Pull his name up.
Is this real life?
Yeah. You can come around and show.
I wish I knew. I would have participated.
Chuck's having a great time today, by the way.
Show, bring the guy's dick pic. We can't show it on YouTube, obviously,
Chuck's,
but show it around
Chuck's getting
here.
Flushed because he's like, shit, they're going to see mine. They're going to be underwhelmed.
No, Chuck's first time you on the show was like, how is your fuck game? And you were like, it's strong. My fuck game is strong.
I never thought I would be talking about your dick, Chuck, but here we are.
She didn't either,
show
by the way.
Dan first. Dan's a
very
excellent
judge. I never thought we would either.
There we are.
Wow, that's a nice hog.
Yeah. Beautiful hog.
Chuck's like, there you go. Chuck's like, I didn't sign up for this, but I wanted the podcast. I wanted the podcast, not see dick pics.
Boston Joe,
let's
check
see.
Out this guy's home.
Oh, that's flaccid, too. Good for him. Good for his woman.
He's half black, half white. Nice. Half swag. Really came through down there.
Yeah, wow. Lucky him.
Can I come next week for the women's pictures?
For sure. But she's getting flooded with dick pics. We're proud of you. What was your Instagram again?
This is Chelly.
You can send all their dick pics to her.
Is that why you just requested
she'll
me?
She'll rate them on the show.
You thought I was going to participate in that?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure. I saw you just, I got a friend request and I was like, oh, what's going on? Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is.
Then we met on an elevator.
Yeah.
And it was, off to the races after that.
Off to the races after that. Thank you, Araceli. You don't have to stand back creepy.
All awkward behind
She's
us.
She's trying to get dates on there. I enjoy it. Jesse Wiseman. Come on up, J-Bo.
Now that Jesse's coming up and getting kicked off, I just want to say big thank you to you and Jesse.
Absolutely.
For letting us go over to your place real quick and do a show.
Absolutely. It was a great show.
I want to talk about the Falcons real quick.
You're no. Done. Falcons had a great draft pick.
You're done.
Drinking Broettes is also on our network. What night does that air every week?
Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, 8 o'clock?
Yep.
There you go.
Yes, no, that's right.
Proud of you, Jade.
That's right.
How much did you drink today? There it is.
I moved my alcohol alarm up a half an hour, so you're welcome, all of you. I don't know if you heard the Law & Order theme playing, but that means it's time to drink.
No lies. So whenever the Law & Order theme song goes off, that means she's allowed to drink like it's her time.
What's the Law & Order theme song?
Bam, 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 bam.
Does that sound familiar to you? Law & Order?
Nope.
Yeah.
I think the only time I've ever seen an episode of Law & Order was at a car shop. Where they were changing my oil and they just had it on in the lobby or
something. And
some
you loved
shit.
It.
No, it was terrible.
You were in.
It was like a bad documentary. It was like the acting was on par with pornography.
I'm with you.
But
I'm not a Law
no
and Order fan.
There's no titties out there.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Oh my gosh. You guys look so, all of you look so good up here.
Ah, we look all right. It's thanks
really
to Papa
do.
Giorgio.
I like
back
how you
there.
Say that while you're on camera.
Yeah,
know,
you get
I'm
to see yourself.
Looking at myself.
You get to see yourself, which is
I'm
nice.
Meeting
and then
Chuck
we look
Liddell
at
for the first time.
The YouTube comments, and there's
this is the first
fire.
Time you've met Chuck.
This is the first time. Nice to meet you.
Oh, really? Wait, you were in Los Angeles.
I know, but we were crossing paths. He was barreling down the street. I had to go pick something up.
Yeah.
So I said, he's a striking fellow when he's walking down the street.
She's saying that you're too important for her and you didn't have time for her. That's what I'm hearing right now.
Sorry. No.
Dave, is your wife party? Because she's coming out with us.
Oh, yeah. My wife. Have fun.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah,
I see a lot of fun.
Great. We took Chuck and Heidi and Adam to Here Nor There last time they were in Austin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Burn it down?
Yeah, yeah.
Good. She'll have a little buddy tonight.
It'll be fun.
And they can rage.
My wife likes to have fun.
She does. Done. Yeah, she's awesome.
That's great. So, Jesse, predictions on the game tonight? Texas versus Seattle. Who do you got?
I was just going to ask who's playing.
There's going to be one.
Look,
that's her
I'm
prediction.
There for what? Food, drinks,
yep,
and a little bit of a chat and a giggle. But Seattle?
All right, she's going with Seattle.
Is that bad? That's the wrong thing to say, right?
Canelo Alvarez versus Billy Joe Saunders tomorrow night. Who do you got?
Canelo.
All right, Canelo. Canelo all the way around.
I mean, Billy Joe is 30-0 with 14 knockouts.
Yes.
But he's also a 7.5-1 underdog.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty interesting.
Look, there's a bunch of people in the chat saying bet on Saunders.
What's the line by knockout?
What's that?
What's the line by knockout?
That's a good question. There are a bunch of props. Hang on a second.
Yeah, there's a ton of prop bets on there. My phone or my computer died here. I can't pull them up anymore.
I'll grab it. Hang on.
But it goes round by round, and they put them up, and that's the big value pick.
Canelo? No.
Yeah. I got Canelo by a knockout.
It's down to 680.
Is it really?
Yeah.
As we go.
Somebody just made a big bet. It's the only way to make it flip that fast.
Yeah, huge bets.
Like, I'm talking about the only way to make it go, what is that, 70 points down? That's that's got to be like a $500,000 bet, probably, something like that.
Somewhere in that neighborhood, yeah.
Fuck, man.
Did you ever bet on yourself when you were fighting, Chuck?
No. I mean,
I don't think you're allowed to, are you?
Are you allowed to?
You weren't allowed to. Yeah. I didn't know.
You should be allowed to bet on yourself.
Yeah.
That's what Pete Rose did all these years. He was betting on himself to win. I feel like you should be able to do that.
Right? Bet on myself every day.
I mean, I don't know. I always bet on myself if the win, you know, it's like, you know, I think I was offered one time either 40 to show and 40 to win or... Mm-hmm. For the 40 more for win, or you can have 40 to show and or it was like 50 to show and 20 more to win.
Yeah.
I'd always go for the 40 and 40 because I want to win.
Yeah, same.
I'm betting I'm going to win the fight. So I always take the extra money at the end.
Yeah, on my bookie, the most likely thing to happen is Canelo wins by decision or TKO. It's +110. Everything else is in the 1,000 range or higher.
Okay, so that means that over-under of 10.5.
They're thinking it's going to be the over.
They think it's going to be the over. That's interesting. With odds that high of 7.5-1, that would typically favor a knockout, but...
Wait, is this a 15-round fight because it's 12, a title fight?
12.
I thought title fights in boxing were 15 rounds.
Well, they used to be, and then they cut it down to 12. But back in the day, yeah, they used to all be 15. Now it's at 12, and then some of them are at 10, depending upon which state you're in. So,
well, there's some good value.
The move.
There's some good value here. Then, if you believe that over, Alvarez in round 10 is +1,400. Alvarez in round 11 is 16. Alvarez in 12 is 2,000. Those are good. You could sprinkle. You could sprinkle all three of those, plus the over. That's a good bet per Vegas, right?
It's a great bet. I know you're amped about it tonight. A lot of brisket going down.
A lot of brisket. A nacho bar.
We ordered a nacho bar for you tonight.
Excited for the big nacho bar game tonight.
Yeah, I know you are.
I'm rooting for that nacho bar, so we are good to go.
Giorgio, is there UFC on this weekend? Pop him up. He's got to get out of that 40-second zone. We got UFC on this weekend, Giorgio?
Yes.
Come on over. Let's hear the odds on UFC.
Chandler's fighting.
Hopefully inside the box we'll be able to watch both.
Or some shit?
Jesse look amazing as always.
In Houston, right?
A beautiful dump truck ass that I love. You know I love it.
Going to be looking this way, going to be looking this way. Going to be looking this way. It's my boss, so I'm going to look this way.
Hey, so Chuck is going to the Chandler fight next weekend too.
Yeah, that's why I'm going. I'm going to hang out with him.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to be best friends with Chuck. Maybe one day he'll adopt me. I'm trying to work this in.
Why don't you adopt him
while he's here? But,
hey, by
you know,
the way, Jared and I looked into this 2 years ago. The only thing it requires for one adult to adopt another adult is that you both sign the paperwork. That's it.
Chuck, if you want me as your child, I know I offer not much, but, you know, it'd be a dream come true for me. So.
You're making good money now, Giorgio. You're good to go.
It's not about the money.
Not Chuck money, baby.
It's not about the money.
It's about the respect.
Yeah. About the respect.
Like, I'm Chuck Liddell's kid, you motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about having that name.
So do you want to talk about this weekend or do you want to talk about next weekend?
Let's talk about this weekend first.
Because like all the fights have been canceled off this weekend. This is where the big takeaway from this weekend is Diego Sanchez and Cowboy Cerrone. Diego Sanchez is dropped from the UFC.
Yeah, he's really
so, yeah. He got dropped from the UFC from his last fight. His coach
was talking about how the UFC's trying to kill him or some shit like that.
So I listened like, to the phone call before he was dropped, and they're requesting all medical records, every post fight examination, and everything that's happened to him while in the UFC, which seems like they're setting up for some sort of lawsuit or some sort of negotiation for. Post-career.
Or they're worried about him suing them,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, the sure. Lawyer in the call said if he's been affected any way by MMA or is affected in any way and not 100%, we won't let him in the cage and we will release him. We cannot put a fighter in there who is possibly damaged, who is possibly compromised.
So they think he's actually damaged, or are they just trying to use that to get him the fuck out?
I mean, this is the unwritten rule ever. It's like everyone is hurt throughout their fight career. Everyone has taken damage throughout their fight career. I mean, everyone has been physically and life altered because of it. It's like, are we going to willing to admit that? And then who covers the bill later?
Yeah.
And, you know, the Ollie effect is coming into place. There's a lot of things that could change the way for mixed martial arts, you know, here on out. And I'd love to hear Chuck's opinion on, you know, post-fight hospital bills, post-fight recovery, how MMA as a whole has been treating things.
Because how does that work out? Well, who pays for that?
Typically, you use your sponsor money and all that stuff to pay for your own training, your fight camp, your trainers, all that bullshit, right?
Yeah.
But do you have insurance from
there's
the UFC?
There's insurance for fights. Like, when you fight, if you get hurt that night in a fight, you're covered.
But what if you don't discover the injury until, like, if it's a traumatic brain injury, you don't discover it for 3 months
six
or
weeks,
a year?
Right? I think it's 6 weeks or 6 months post-fight.
I'm not sure what the numbers are. Yeah. Stuff has changed over the years, and everything's different now. But, it is what it is. But, I mean, and there's a little bit of inherent risk. When you're going to go out and fight and get punched in the head for a living,
you're locked in a steel cage with another man. There's a tiny bit of risk maybe involved in that.
I mean, at some point, are you going to afterwards say, hey, man, I shouldn't have done that? Is this your fault?
Yeah. But they should be paying your bills. That's crazy.
I don't know how it works out and how you get it done. But, I mean, I'd love to see some kind of retirement program, some kind of.
Like the NFL has. Yeah,
like
yeah.
The NFL has. Yeah. You know, I don't know how you qualify for it, how many fights you have to have, or what you have to put in, or what it is. I don't know how that works. I haven't figured it out. But I would love to see some kind of retirement where at least you have a living wage if you made a certain amount of.
Now, is it
naive? A lot of guys that are, you know, journeymen or guys that add a lot of value to the UFC and have some great fights and do stuff that will never make enough money to retire for the rest of their life.
Sure. They got to go do something else. Outside. Yeah.
Because I used to counsel a lot of my guys, hey, man, you know, you're giving it close to the end of your career.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do after?
Yeah.
What are you setting up for next?
So where are you going? Is it naive of me to think that as the sport grows, as the more money's been pumping into it, there's been more money into it in the last 5 years than, you know, probably every year before that since 93 combined. Do you think some of those programs like that will come about? Do you think those will start to come into place recently, as the more money is in the sport?
Yeah. Recent, what was it, 2017, they built the PI in Vegas?
Yeah.
I think it was 16 or 17. That's a big step forward. They have a doctor on staff all the time.
Yeah, I mean, they're
nutritionist, and Forrest is running. I mean, sorry, Boris.
Boris Griffin is running Adam. Obviously, he's running that out there. You know what? There's going to be, but you're always going to have people grumbling about both. You know, but you're going to have people, hey, did you get hurt playing? I mean, did you get hurt doing this? Yeah, of course. I mean, everyone got hurt playing. Everybody went out there and got damage. I mean, you know, wear and tear. Like, I've had a couple of surgeries over the last few years and it was flat out just wear and tear. That's all the doctor said. What did you do wrong? It's just a long time of beating yourself up for
so much ligament damage, so much tendon damage, just pain over time, arthritis, and like you don't get to that point of athletic success and athletic ability without pushing your body to those limits.
And that's
like,
how
it is.
That's what Brinkus says about the Tommy John surgery.
Mm-hmm.
There was this long held belief that people came back and threw faster than they ever did before. But really all they did was repair all the injuries for the last 20 years.
Right, they took that time off, repealed those small stability muscles, I mean, Sanhagen Dillashaw fights off. I think that's going to be postponed another date once that eye is cleared up. I think there's only a three fight main card this weekend.
Yeah, who's actually fighting this week?
Who do you got in it?
Marina Rodriguez versus Michelle Watson. I think Marina takes that pretty handily, to be honest. The co-main event's Donald Cerrone versus Alex Moreno.
Michelle Watterson?
Yes.
Is that like the one that everybody thinks is hot?
There's a lot of them that people think are hot, but she's one of them, yeah.
Is she actually hot?
Well,
she's not a 65-year-old woman with a boat.
Yeah, sure. She only loves 65-year-old women with boats, so that's it.
You know, I'm looking out for my future. I'm that UFC fighter who doesn't take much damage, I'm the Mayweather of dating. You know, I'm not taking damage. I'm smart. I'm in there. I'm out. You know, if you're out there, Melinda Gates, I know your last name's probably changed, but I'm single. I'm ready to mingle. I know you got you just got it in, baby, so let's go.
What is her maiden name? It could be Gregoris.
Melinda
Georgia
Gregoris?
Will take her maiden name.
You'll take her name.
Yes. Who else you got this weekend?
We got Donald Cerrone versus Alex Moreno. Alex Moreno is a late replacement. He's tough as nails. I would like to see Cerrone go out on his last fight with a win.
Wait, they put Cerrone up against another guy that's tough as nails?
Yes.
What the fuck? Isn't Ferguson supposed to be fighting this week?
No, it's next week.
Next week.
He got moved up to so Nate Diaz was pulled from next weekend's fight because of a back injury. His fight with, why am I blanking? I'm a little drunk right now. The UK guy. Number three.
It got moved to 263.
Got moved.
So why am I blanking? It is still on. But it is UFC 263, not this weekend, the next weekend, obviously. Mm-hmm. Cowboy Cerrone.
Cowboy Cerrone takes this fight, I think. I think he takes a decision. I think it's a fun fight. I think you're going to be interested. You're going to see some of back to the roots of the UFC. The UFC needs more guys like Cowboy Cerrone. Guys who will fight in multiple weight classes, build a name for themselves, just stay in there. Wins, losses, no matter what. You still want to see them fight.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, a lot of these fans don't know their names right now. And I don't know if that's promotion's fault or the fighter's fault or going from different promotion, but everyone knows who Cowboy Cerrone is.
Right. Well, look, UFC's got ESPN as a fucking apparatus now. And if you go to UFC's website, they have all the weight classes and the top 10 contenders plus the champion for each one.
Yeah.
They should be running daily shit about those
guys.
There's
600 guys on the roster right now, and at that top level, you know, that 3 through 10, anybody can beat anybody on any given day. It's just what happens on that roll of the dice, who plans better, who misses the punch by an inch, and who connects, you know.
I know this weekend seems like it's going to be a bit of a wash, to be honest.
Well, hang on. One question. If Cowboy loses, Chuck, is he done?
I mean, he's done.
I thought he was done before.
His contract is up.
Oh, his contract is up. But if he wins, do they renew it?
I don't think so.
If he wanted to, they probably would.
I don't think so. But it's one of those things. It's hard to tell a fighter to go. You're always a fighter. You like
Especially
fighting.
Cowboy.
Especially a guy like Cowboy who's anywhere, anyplace, anytime.
He's been
He loves fighting. He loves his job.
Every
he loves
iteration.
What he does.
Yeah.
For me, it was just I just didn't feel like I could compete at that level anymore. That was kind of where I finally drew the line.
But you were a champion. Yeah. Cowboy's a fighter. He just loves it. I mean, you don't love it, but you were at the peak at one point. Cowboy's been.
If you're in the UFC, you believe you're a champion. If you've been in the best organization, you're in that top 10. Fighting those best guys. It's only a few tweaks. Like, in your mind, you have to believe you're the best. You have to train like you're the best. And you have to know there's just a few combinations that you have to change to get you there. And, you know, he still feels that way. I think in his heart, you know, when I heard him talk about going back to 55, going back for one more run at the title, no more 170 talk, I kind of felt it. But that also kind of felt like Chuck was talking about, where, like, you don't know when your time is up or when your body can't keep up with your mind anymore.
Well, how old is he? He's got to be, 35, 36 now at this point?
Close to it. He's a good deal bit older than me.
How long can you keep going? Oh, he's 38.
He's 38. Fighting a 30-year-old who's, you know, that's already, you know, up there in age.
Is that the main event?
No, that's the co-main.
Okay.
The female fight's the main event.
Is it really?
It is.
Yeah. Wow.
Put some respect on these women fighters' names, Ross. Put some respect on these women fighters' names.
Nunes is that's the girl. That's the lady.
For now, until the next one.
We just dropped YouTube.
Yeah.
We're out.
Yeah.
No, I'm
YouTube's done.
That's fine. It's fine. Are we still recording the audio on this show?
Yeah. We're recording everything. It's done.
Good. Yeah. Sweet. We have the audio show on this, but what do you think about Cerrone? You think he's out? In?
What do you mean? Keep going? Or
yeah. I think this is his last fight.
I haven't talked to him. I don't know. I love Cowboy. I'll support him whatever he does. I like every time he goes out there, he fights like a warrior. So I love watching him fight. I'll watch him as long as he wants to fight.
Do you think there's a place for him in PFL, somewhere like that? To go make some bucks, and then you take us some fights that aren't quite at the level of the UFC.
I mean, a lot of guys have had success over there, like Sean O'Connell.
That's definitely a possibility for someone like him. Like, he's got a big name. He can add a lot of value to a card like that, a smaller show. And they can give him an opponent. I mean,
they're on TNT right now. There's some broadcast revenue. Like, it feels like they're trying to do some good things over at PFL.
But I think Cowboy would be a good selection for one of the fucking captains on a new Ultimate Fighter too. I mean, he's a great
personality.
He's not a huge personality, but he's a super likable guy.
Yeah,
and he's such a tough motherfucker. Like, who could?
He's a pretty funny dude.
Yeah, he is. You used to say it about us all the time. Like, how can you fucking complain about your day when you're hanging out with dudes that have been in combat?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How do you fucking tell Cowboy Cerrone that you're tired? Right. You know what I mean? That would be embarrassing. Like, shut the fuck up, dude. It's Cowboy Cerrone. He's been fighting for 40 years now. Jesus Christ.
Look, now's the point in the show. We get to the drinking bro of the week. Oh, look at you. She says yes. Come on up.
You want to give the drinking bro of the week?
Come on up. Give out the drinking bro of the week.
She just wants it to be over.
We want to thank everybody for coming out on a Friday afternoon at 2:30 to get drunk with us. We greatly appreciate it. Again, once again, thank you to Craft and Growler. What's your name?
My name is Lacey.
You got to talk into that mic, Lacey. There you go. She's wasted.
I am. You know what? I wasn't expecting this to creep up the way it did, but it kind of did.
The high ABVs in these craft beers will get you.
Sit down or shut up, I think is what it's called.
Not sure. Not sure. We're going to talk right into it. There you go. There you go.
This is so exciting.
How long have you been listening to the show?
A year and a half.
Awesome.
And you just retweeted my stuff today. Did I really? Watch in person. It's exciting.
Hell yeah.
Talked to Jesse. Got some selfies.
That's awesome.
I don't know. Sit down or I'll sit you down.
Yeah. Sit down or I'll sit you down. That's the name of the beer.
That's what that guy said.
I highly recommend it. It's delicious.
Well, who would you like to give the drinking bro of the week to?
I would like to give the drinking bro of the week to... hold it up closer. Hold it up closer. Yeah, okay. I'm going to give the drinking bro of the week to my mother. My mother is Mother's Day on Sunday. She's a badass bitch. She's moving right now, and she's still helping me out with a lot of shit in my own life. And so she's awesome. She likes to drink. She's a big drinker, and I'll give it to her. So cheers, Mom.
Cheers. We should cheers all the moms out there.
Cheers.
Happy Mother's Day Happy Mother's Day. We appreciate everyone coming out today. Thank you again to Craft and Growler for having us. If you are in Dallas, this is a must stop right here. This is some of the best beer in the state of Texas. Shit, it's probably 1-2 for me, that and Twisted X. Gigantic fan. So if you're in Dallas, Texas, come on out to Craft and Growler. For Chuck Liddell, please go download, rate, and review Icebreakers. He'll have another episode out Monday night at 8 p.m., we appreciate you coming out. We're going to be raging all weekend. We hope to see some of you out at the games tonight. D'Anthony Holloway. I'm Ross Patterson. We are the drinking bros. I'm Ross Patterson. We are the drinking bros. Good night, everyone.